Okay, Proverbs chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 13 to 20 together tonight. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down dew. Now last week we saw that Proverbs chapter 3 can be divided into basically three sections. The first section, verses 1 to 12, emphasizes the fact that we need to have a right relationship to God. And then verses 13 to 20 is really kind of like a song or a hymn. Basically, it's a song that's celebrating wisdom and how valuable and how important wisdom is. And that's really what we're going to focus our attention on tonight. And then the third part of chapter 3 is emphasizing man's relationship to other people. And kind of the main thing that we saw last week is that Solomon starts with our relationship to God because that's the center point. If we want to have a right relationship with other people, if we want to respond in circumstances the way that we need to, it's vitally important that we have a right walk with God. And I can tell you, when you work with people in a ministry situation, especially when you're in a cross-cultural situation, if you are not in the Word, if you're not on your knees, if your heart isn't where it needs to be, you're going to fail miserably in how you relate to people. And I learned that in so many situations. There'd be times that I'd walk away and say, praise God, I handled that the right way. And I'd realize it was simply because the Lord had been working in my heart and the responses were connected to that work. And there are other times that it was the exact opposite. Responded terribly. And I walked away with my head down going, I'm going to have to eat crow. I'm going to have to sit down. I'm going to have to make some things right. And I'm going to have to work through this issue. Why did I handle it that way? Well, it's because I wasn't in a right, healthy walk with God, and it affected those relationships. And so we saw that being emphasized in the passage by the order that Solomon is taking as he lays out this issue of wisdom. So we could summarize verses 13 to 20 this way. Solomon wants his children to look for satisfaction in a right walk with God because that walk will be a fountain of abundant life. Solomon wants to kind of emphasize to his kids, look, if you look for satisfaction in the wrong places, you're going to find loneliness and you're going to find emptiness and you're going to find pain. You're going to experience frustration. You're going to experience guilt. But if you focus on the Lord and if he's your delight and you walk in wisdom because you're walking with God, you're going to have a satisfied walk. You're going to have joy. You're going to have the things that all the people around you are looking for, but they seem to be missing it. You're going to have that. And so that's really what he's trying to emphasize in this section by telling us how great wisdom is. And he's talking about godly wisdom. This is because God wants us to have a satisfied life in his presence. You know, when God created us, when God put Adam in this world, it was not his desire that Adam would experience frustration and pain and sorrow and irritation and difficulty in relationship. That wasn't what God wanted. God made Adam and said, I want you to have a right relationship with me. I want you to enjoy this beautiful creation that I made. I want you to have dominion or rule over it. I want you to name the animals. I want you to take care of the garden. I want you to learn about my wisdom and my goodness. I want you to know only good, and I want there to be no problem between us. Because of sin, it all changed. And so God's desire for man hasn't changed. He still wants us to have joy and fellowship with him. And he wants us to experience a good life in this fallen world. But we can't have that apart from him. And so that's what he emphasizes. How can you and I have a satisfied walk in God's presence? That's the question we're going to look at tonight. And so with that in mind, let's begin with a couple of questions that are going to help us to understand how we can have the right kind of walk God wants us to have. Question one, I want to start with this. What do people want in life? What do people want in life? Now think about the people that you work with. Think about the kids you go to school with. Joseph, I guess. If I look at my kids, I guess they don't go to school with a lot of kids. It's their siblings, right? But if you're in school, what do the kids in school want? What do the people that you work with want? What do the people that your hunting buddies want, you know? The people that you work with and interact with, what do they want? They want to be happy. They want to have a life that they feel like has meaning and satisfaction. They don't want misery, but you know what's interesting? Not too many of them find that, do they? They get the exact opposite of what they want. A lot of times the things that they pursue the most, that they think are going to give them the key to what they want, become the hooks that catch them. And those are the things that bring them the most pain and suffering in life. In fact, it's interesting. Solomon investigated this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. He writes this. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. What profit hath a man in all his labor, which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. The earth abideth forever. He says, I look at life and I see how people live, and I see that one generation comes and they go and they get replaced. And it's just this repetitive, terrible cycle. He says in verse 17 to 18, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit, and in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. This is really interesting. Solomon says, I wanted to know wisdom and I wanted to know folly. I tried everything that there was out there. And the more I tried, and the more I tasted, the more I said, this is depressing. You taste it and you think it's sweet in your mouth, and then it makes your belly bitter. And that's how this world is. And that was very depressing. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, I said in my heart, go to now, approve thee with mirth, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. Solomon's pretty much telling us in those verses that he had tried everything. He tried knowledge, he tried partying, he tried money, he tried power, he tried all these things. At the end of it all, he said, you know what? When I pursued those things, the things that everybody thinks is going to be the key, I just found it's empty. It's worthless. It's like you watch the Super Bowl. Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl. And you know what? Today, I wonder if he even cares. He's like, let's go get the next one. I mean, that's the mentality, because it's like, been there, done that. That's number 6 for me, I think. Is that 6? I can't even remember. You know, it's like a normal season. A guy wins the Super Bowl. Somebody gets to the top, and you know what? There's nowhere else to go. And he finds out, it's lonely up here. It's depressing up here. You know, the next time I go for that, I might get an injury. My career's done. And I live with all these regrets. That's the way life is sometimes. People pursue happiness. They pursue hope to live a long time. They live to be 85 or 90, and the last 5 to 10 years of their life is full of pain and misery. And they say, I wanted to be old, and now I hate being old. They want money, and the more they get, the more fearful they are that they're going to lose it. And the more they don't want to spend it, because they've lived their entire life trying to get it, and now that they have it, they don't know what to do with it. They want honor, and in one statement or one accusation, all the honor that they've attained in their lifetime, just, it's crushed. I mean, look at some of the people in the political arena. They've lived their entire lives as very respectable citizens, and one accusation, and we're talking about them all day in the news. And we're hearing about terrible accusations. And this person who seems so honorable now seems so scummy and so grimy and so icky. Like, oh, man. Find out that's probably how a lot of the people are in our political arena. People want peace. They want satisfaction. And they're never satisfied with what they have. They want genuine relationships. And one day they realize that everybody relates to them because of what they can get from them. This is what the world lives for. And the world lives for that because they think that's going to bring them happiness and joy and satisfaction. Folks, I hate to tell you this, but none of those things can bring you satisfaction. None of them. We had this couples retreat we went to this weekend. And the guy asked, the speaker asked something about money. He said, can money buy you happiness? And he said, for a little bit. So you get that really nice car. Not that I've ever done that before, okay? Or that really nice boat or that really nice house. And you're like, this is wonderful. And you look out on the view and it's so incredible. And then a couple months later, it's like, man, I can't keep up with the guy next door. I can't keep up with my tax bills. And I got to put fuel in this thing. And I just got that thing scratched when I went to the grocery store. And all of a sudden, the joy is gone. Everything that this world gives us has a temporary season of joy. Question two, how do people strive to get these things? Let me just mention these quickly. They look for things that they think will make them happy. They work hard. If they're honest, they steal or abuse people if they're dishonest. You know, one of the things I'm going to mention tonight during our prayer time is that the church in Ghana got robbed a second time. So if they didn't get enough the first time, they came back for more. Hope they don't have a third. There are a lot of people that live that way. They live their life abusing others, taking their things so they can get ahead. They think it'll make them happy. They present a false image to others so they can be honored. I mean, look at Facebook. You know, when somebody's always telling you about how rosy things are, in my back of my mind, I go, I wonder if that's really true. I almost feel like they're trying to prove something. I question that because I realize that a lot of people try to present themselves a certain way because they're hoping they'll get honor. There's a little, John Crist. This is really hilarious. I watched this today. John Crist. Now, I think it's dated. It's a year or two old. But it was a millennial engagement. Now, I'm not bashing millennials, Billy. I happen to be one, okay? So he's got the guy and the girl, and they're doing the engagement thing. And it's a joke because basically it's a production. And she's like, your knee has to hit just that way, and the ring's not big enough, and, you know, the light's got to be just right, and they're going through the whole thing. And at the end of it all, she's excited because she got likes, not because she got the ring. And you're just like, what in the world? There are people really, they're kind of like that. That's why they're on Facebook all the time. They think it's going to give them happiness. People join causes because they think it'll bring them peace and satisfaction. They try everything that can possibly give satisfaction: athletics, education, marriage, business, community action, partying, religion. They try it all. But you know what? You try to get that apart from God, you got nothing. Question three, what does God say? And this is really what's important. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says this: that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And listen to what he says: and these things I've written unto you, that you might have joy, and that your joy may be full. John wrote that book because he wanted those Christians to have a joyful communion with God. He wanted them to have happy lives. He didn't say, here's how you can make money and here's how you can get it. Well, they didn't have cars, but how you can get a better house and how you can buy your freedom and this is how you can become a powerful politician. He says, walk with God and you'll have a happy life. That's basically what he says. Proverbs 9:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. If you fear God and you know him and you walk with him, that's where you're going to get clarity in this life. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Basically, he's saying if you seek God and his kingdom, God takes care of you. Not saying you're going to be rich and you're going to be, you know, having all these material blessings, but he's saying God will take care of you. He'll give you the most important things. When we talk about this issue of wisdom and walking with God, notice what he says in these verses. I'm going to walk through them quickly. Several benefits of wisdom from Proverbs chapter 3. I'm not going to tell you how many. It might be on the slide. Oh, killed me, man. I should have put several benefits. Don't worry, I won't spend too much time on all nine of them. But let me move through them quickly. Here we go. Number one, wisdom brings genuine happiness. Now, let's remember when we talk about wisdom, we're talking about wisdom in the sense of godly wisdom. We're not just talking about a person who's got a lot of information in their head. Basically, they're walking with God. They have fellowship with him. They understand his ways. They fear him. We're talking about godly wisdom. Godly wisdom brings genuine happiness. Look at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Verse 18, she, wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Happiness. You want happiness, then you got to walk with God, and you got to have godly wisdom. Two, wisdom is a superior investment. Look at verse 14. He says, the merchandise of it, wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now, basically what he's saying is this. There are people who take gold and silver, and they take that precious metal, and they use it to make something, and they actually are using it to have a livelihood. And so they're taking that product and they're producing something beautiful and they're selling it and they're getting a gain on that. And they live their lives that way and they become very profitable. They become merchants. But he says wisdom is a better investment than the guy that becomes a skilled trader who can take gold, he can take silver, he can make beautiful things, he can make valuable things, he can sell them at profit, he can begin to accumulate wealth and build his business and all those things. You get wisdom, you have an investment that's better than building your own business. That's what he's saying. We come to a third. See, I'm moving through here, okay. Third, wisdom gives you true and lasting riches. It says, verse 15, she, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. How many of you, when you were kids, used to remember service merchandise? Okay, some of you maybe, when you were kids, they didn't have service merchandise yet. I don't know. But when I was a kid, service merchandise was a thing. And they would set out this catalog, okay? And I know it's going to sound weird, but this is the truth. I remember my mom would get the service merchandise catalog, and they had a section where they would sell jewelry. And I remember as a kid going through the jewelry section and looking at the cost of the various articles of jewelry. And the thing that I noticed was that if it had rubies in it, it was more expensive than the other precious stones. Did you know that? Because rubies are that's a very precious stone, a very rare and valuable stone. Well, basically what he's saying is this. Wisdom has value that is more lasting than that physical substance of the ruby. You know, it's interesting. When you get something physical, anything can happen to it. You know, you get a diamond ring. What happens when you drop it in the ocean? Well, it's gone. I mean, it's not gone, but it's gone for you. Okay? All right? It ain't gone, but it's gone for you. Somebody else will find it. Yeah, you have something really nice in your house, and you have a fire. There's a house when I drive down Quarterfield Road, and it turns into, I don't know if it's, before you get to Telegraph, there's a house on that road that, it was a terrible house fire. You could have wonderful things in your home, and just like that, one night, an electrical fire, and everything you have is gone. You know, I noticed like to have people steal stuff. I remember the most expensive laptop I ever bought in my life. I only had it for a week because somebody stole it. It was in Ghana. It was sitting in my living room, and somebody came up over a ladder into the living room and stole that and a whole bunch of other things. You know, the truth is that when we invest in things in this world, their value doesn't last. It can be gone just like that. But when you have a walk with God, when you have godly wisdom, that's something that nobody can take away from you. Your knowledge of the Lord is something that you don't just have today, but it grows over time, and you're going to grow in your knowledge and your fellowship with God forever. It's an amazing concept. We come to verse 16. Wisdom extends the length of your life. It says, length of days is in her right hand. People who walk with God Now, this is a general statement. It doesn't mean that every godly person lives to be 100 or anything like that. But in general statements, God blesses people with long life who walk with him. There are a lot of dumb things that people do that cut short their life because they don't have godly wisdom. And he mentions that one as well. Verse 16, wisdom brings honor from the honorable. It says, not only is in her right hand length of days, but in her left hand are riches and honor. Now, that statement is not necessarily saying that all people will honor you, but people who are honorable will. That's what godly wisdom brings you. Verse 17, wisdom makes life pleasant. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness. I remember this very distinctly. One day, dealing with all these interesting counseling situations, like really interesting, like almost you wouldn't believe them if you knew some of the stuff, kind of counseling situations. And I remember I was out there walking in my garden, and I'm watering my plants, and this thought popped in my head, and it was like, you know what? When you don't make decisions that lead you to those places, life is so much simpler. Like, it hit me. Life is so much simpler. Like, if you're not paying child support to 3 different ladies, I mean, life's a lot simpler, you know? When you don't do things in a very sinful and shady way, it's amazing how much smoother and simpler your life is. And when you make bad decisions, sinful decisions, it's unbelievable how complex your life can get. And you can sit down and you can lay out the situation in front of a person that loves you, loves God, knows the Bible, and you lay that situation in front of them and they look at you and they go, friend, I have no idea what to tell you. I really don't know what to tell you. That's a real mess. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but I've been there with people. And it's not that I don't love them. I do love them. It's not that there isn't a way forward. God does have a way forward for that person. But they have a very complicated and convoluted story to deal with because of very, very bad decisions. And so when a person makes godly, wise decisions, it makes his path very smooth. Wisdom brings as much peace as possible. It says in verse 17, all her ways, all her paths are peace. In other words, rather than a person having conflict in every single turn, things are smooth. I mean, there are some folks that they seem to be in conflict with everybody they know. When that's the case, it tells you something. There's one common denominator. It's you. And when you are constantly in conflict with other people, it means that you are not walking in godly wisdom. We have verse 18. Wisdom gives vitality. She's a tree of life. You know, trees are amazing. I have a lemon tree right now in my kitchen. All right, I'm so excited because my lemon tree is surviving. Not only is it surviving, it's thriving. It's got new leaves on it. It's putting out blossoms. This is a wonderful thing. You know what's so neat about a tree like that? If it continues to thrive, it may not continue, but if it continues to thrive, that thing's going to produce fruit. And those fruits are going to produce seeds. And those seeds have the potential to produce lots more trees. And all those trees have the potential to produce lots more fruit. And all those fruits have the potential to produce lots more seeds. And you kind of get the idea. One tree can produce a whole grove. It's like banana trees. You plant one banana tree and you come back 10 years later and it blows you away. How many banana trees are now in that whole section there? Because they just keep coming. When one dies, it feeds the others. And that's the way that it works. The truth is, when there's life, it reproduces itself. That's what trees do. And wisdom is like that. When a person is godly and a person is wise and they walk with God, their life has the ability to bring tremendous vitality to the people around them. They produce children, if God blesses them with children, and those children embrace the ways of the Lord because they see in their parents what is there. And you know what happens? There's a reproduction of that. And their lives touch so many different people. When somebody walks in godliness, it's amazing how much it can impact the kingdom of Christ. It can have a tremendous benefit. One bitter person can just kill an environment as well. Life and death and the power of the tongue. A godly person can bring so much blessing to those around them. And a person who doesn't walk in wisdom can bring a lot of problems, a lot of contention, a lot of difficulty. Wisdom brings vitality. She's a tree of life. And then lastly, wisdom shapes a correct understanding of God's creation. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens, by his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. I think basically what Solomon is saying is this. This world that we live in, though it's a fallen world, it has a lot of order. It has structure. It has laws that govern it. And do you know where those laws came from? The mind of God. When God created this world, he ordered it in a good and perfect manner. And when you walk with God, you begin to understand those good ways. I look at something like marriage. We are losing the concept of marriage in our culture. I mean, big time. People don't understand that God created marriage, and it is good. And there's a reason that he made marriage between a man and a woman, and not a man and women, or a woman and men. It's a man and a woman. And there's a reason why he puts children, plants them in that secure and healthy environment. And it's interesting, if you look at God's plan for the family, you begin to see that is a beautiful thing. That is a good and wholesome environment. And any time that you distort that, you bring pain and suffering. That was God's wisdom right there. That's just one area. When we walk with God, we begin to have a perspective on so many things in life that we see his handiwork, we see his wisdom, we see his goodness. We begin to realize that sin is so destructive. And it, what does it do? It shapes a correct understanding of God and the world we live in. These are tremendous benefits of wisdom, aren't they? Let me put it this way. The God-centered life is the best life you can possibly have. There's no question about it. The God-centered life is the best life you can possibly have. You and I have forgiveness because of Christ's death on the cross. Full forgiveness through his saving work. You and I can have a transformed life where our heart that is fallen and broken and so prone to be dominated by the flesh can have victory and can overcome those temptations and can be freed from the grips and the domination of sin that's powerfully dominating our lives, so self-destructive, and we can begin to actually live in a wholesome and godly and pure and healthy manner. Transformation. God takes the heart and he can change it. I was listening to something in the news today, and there was a man. He was being questioned. They were talking about a shooting that had taken place down in Florida. The man was a pastor. His sister-in-law had been shot in a bank. Maybe you've heard the story. It was not too long ago. And one of the things the man said is this: the only thing that's going to change is not legislation. It's a change of heart. People whose hearts love one another will not do things like that. And people who have a desire to kill, no matter what you put over them, they will find a way to do it. No matter what you take out of their hand, they're going to find a way to do it. It's about the heart changing, and God transforms the heart. God's ways give us discernment, a renewed thinking. Whether we like to admit it or not, our minds are clouded. They're clouded. When we look at life, because we're sinful creatures, there are always blind spots. It's like a person who's developing a cataract, and they don't see quite as clearly as they should be able to see. And that's the way that we are. And what happens is when God saves us, he begins to clear away what's clouding our ability to see. He matures us so that there's genuine growth. He provides a means of rich fellowship, not just between us and him, but us and the people around us. You know, people want to have good relationships, but they try to do it without God. He gives us meaning to our daily labor. When we go and do the things that we do, we can look and say, you know, God actually cared about that. That had value to him. Whereas we're not just spinning our wheels, like you're trying to drive a two-wheel vehicle out of the mud. That's the way a lot of people live their lives. But we can live lives that have meaning, and our labor has value to God. We have security. We can rest in his providential care. Think about people go through this world. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in his sovereignty. They don't believe in his love and his care and his wisdom. What a terrible way to live life. Yet we have that sense of security. We have justice. And we see terrible things happen in the world, but we believe one day God's going to set it straight. And so we let him do it. Even when we have conflicts with one another, the burden's not on us to make those people change. We got to let God deal with them sometimes. Peace of mind, freedom, all these things are bound up in Christ. I want to remind you of a simple truth, that this is what Solomon's saying. Hey, kids, everybody in this world wants to be happy. Everybody in this world wants to have a joyful experience. They want to feel like what they're doing has value, that they're not just wasting their life. Everybody wants that. But if you try it apart from God, you're going to come up empty. But if you walk with the Lord, you value your relationship with him above everything else, you will have godly wisdom, and you will have, because you walk with God, what everybody desires. May the Lord help us to be people who find our satisfaction in Christ. Let's bow together for prayer, please. Father, this is a very, very important thing for us to remember, because throughout our life, we will go through seasons, whether we like it or not, where we begin to think that the world can give us something that we want. And Father, we begin to embrace what is so dangerous. I pray that you'd help us to have correct thinking. Bring repentance if there's a need in hearts. I pray that you bring encouragement. I pray that you'd help us to be purposed, to walk with you and to commune with you and to know your ways, to walk in humility before you. I pray that you would be truly glorified in our lives, and that we would find satisfaction and joy because we find it in you. May we find that you are more than enough in all of our ways. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.